Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 5th, 2011, episode 243, sponsored today by Easy Signs Online. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Now, if you noticed, that voice that was starting our show, our intrepid boss, Glenn the Geek, with his sexy phone voice. What's going on there, Glenn?
I don't know. Can you hear me at all?
Oh, yes. Now you're back.
I'm back. I couldn't again. We've had trouble this week with technology. It's been one of those weeks, but I really had to call in on the phone just to get this show started, and then we finally got all the computers operating again. So I'm back with my non-sexy phone voice.
Yeah, I was going to liken that. I'm Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
Want me to call back on the phone?
Kinda. No, you're fine here, okay? You're good.
Hey, I got to tell you this. Tomorrow I'll call in on the phone because tomorrow I'm going to want to have my sexy phone voice.
What's tomorrow?
Remember what we talked about earlier? We're going to be talking about tomorrow, the question of the day tomorrow. It's going to lead to some very interesting conversation. So I'm going to want to have my sexy phone voice tomorrow so my wife answers the question correctly.
I thought that was going to be our question of the day today. I should really listen to you more often in our pre-show meetings.
Maybe I should call in on the phone.
Seriously, it's 5:30 in the morning when we start talking, Glenn. And I have, at 5:27, I go to get my coffee. And so really, the first 15 minutes of our meeting, I really don't even know what you say at all.
I know. I'm just talking to myself. I do wake up
by 6.
But I don't blame you because it is really early out there. We're at an advantage. We start at 9 o'clock. So
yeah.
We definitely are an advantage here.
When does the time change happen, for crying out loud? Then it'll only be 2 hours, which I like a lot better because Arizona is an idiot state that does not do the time change. So we stay the same time all the time, and you guys switch. So it makes it 2 hours, which means I only get up at 6, you know, as opposed to 5.
Well, you know, I think that's actually coming up at the beginning of November. I think it's the first weekend in November, if I remember right. So I think that's when it is. Let's hope that helps you out, and then you actually hear me in the meetings in the morning.
We'll see.
Hey, let's go to Jennifer, find out what's going on today. We have some great news I know you want to get to, and we have something fun we're going to do a little different this morning. So, Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's Horses in the Morning Wednesday edition, we start out with a mystery. No,
Not the mystery of how your horse can bend his neck like spaghetti, get mud on his forehead, but can't seem to bend his neck for 3 degrees to get a 20-meter circle, but the mystery novel by Lisa Wysocki, The Opium Equation, sure to be a hit very shortly. She's going to be on the show to chit-chat about it. And next up, crazy headlines and animal stories will abound, thanks to the mysteries of Google News Alerts. And finally, the most puzzling mystery of the day, will Glenn lose his lunch? That's right. Christy and Dr. Jones are here with the Horse.com Horse Health Report, sure to be gooey.
Yeah, they're talking about wounds and stuff.
Yes.
I'm leaving early. I'm going to go out to the horse park and play with the carriage. And... All right, my Daily Whinny goes out to a celebrity that posted on our Facebook wall yesterday. Her name is Wendy Yates Taylor, and she said, thanks for the Daily Whinny. I made my daughters listen and told them I was famous. Well, now you're doubly famous because you are probably the first one that we've ever done a Daily Whinny for, like, two times in 1 week. So, Wendy, you must be famous. You have to be
She's just in good company, because I do believe we haven't done somebody back to back daily, but I do believe that Charles of Zenyatta fame, Charles Zenyatta's groom, has had a daily winning twice in 1 week. Simply, so she's in with good company. But I think this is the first time for 2 days in a row.
Yeah. So congratulations, Wendy, and you are a celebrity, and we're thrilled to have you listening to us. And now your daughters
famous.
Have to listen again. Yeah, that's
yep.
right. Your daughters have to listen again. Hi, guys.
The first Daily Whinny goes out to Sylva Martin. Sylva Martin is Boyd Martin's lovely, beautiful wife, and really, of course, she's absolutely gorgeous. Well, she is a dressage rider, Boyd Martin, of course, the eventer, and they've had a tough year. They had a barn fire. They've lost, both of them lost their parents, or their fathers. So it's been a really tough year for the Martins, and Boyd has had some success, big success in eventing since all this happened. Well, Sylva Martin just returned from dressage at Devon. Check this out. 5 wins and 5 second places, a 5th place, 2 championships, and a reserve championship at dressage at Devon. Does that not just give you goosebumps?
Holy cow. Really?
I know. She
5 wins?
But 5 wins, 5 seconds, 1/5, 2 championships, and a reserve champion. This
wow.
is at, like, the biggest dressage show in the world. So that's awesome. Awesome. Congratulations,
wow.
Sylva Martin.
Wow, if she puts the ribbons on the door, she's going to need a new ribbon rack.
She needs 2 doors. So Jennifer's going to post a picture for me on Facebook, because yesterday we're looking for farm equipment now. And you would think that being in the West Valley, where it's all like farms and all sorts of random stuff, you would find arena equipment easily. But I looked everywhere. I drove around for like 6 hours yesterday to a bunch of different stores trying to find a harrow for my arena. And I went to like 6 places, and every one of them was like, oh, it's this much, and we can order it, and it'll take 2 weeks to a month to get it in. And then the freight on it is this much, and it's going to be this much for shipping. And it was really frustrating. The whole day was frustrating. I did not buy a harrow. I just need to drag my freaking new arena so I can put the jumps out there. I got to get it done. And I couldn't. But there was one part of my driving around that really it really entertained me. So Jennifer's going to put a picture of my co-pilot on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page so you can see a photo of my co-pilot in action yesterday when we drove around for 6 hours. He was the only thing that entertained me. And, of course, I'm talking about my dog Boomer. Boomer spends all his time in the front seat going, where are we going? Where are we going? Okay, I'll drive. Then turn left. Go right. Go straight. Slow down. Go faster. Like, he is like the most active front seat dog ever. Every other dog I've ever owned gets in the car and goes to sleep. He does not get car sick. He just does not go to sleep. He drives with you. Every move you make, like you go to turn the steering wheel, he's like, what are you doing? Okay. And then you go to roll the window down. What's that? Okay. And then squirrel. It doesn't matter what it is. It is, he's very active. And this is how he likes to drive in the car. Of course, when he does this, I make him get down. But he likes to put... Do you see the picture, Glenn?
Oh, jeez. And look at the intensity.
I know. It's insane. He's either there or he puts his nose and mouth on the air conditioning vent and just huffs the cold air.
This is funny. So Boomer's got both, and I don't see dogs do this too often. He has both front feet on the dashboard looking out the front window very intently.
Yes. So that's what he likes to do. I'm telling you, he is the most intense driving partner ever. Zenyatta and Brett, my other border collie, were in the backseat sleeping. And the basset hound was on the floor sleeping. So I had four dogs on this trip with me, and this is my front seat pilot here. And, I always make him get down when he does that because it's not very safe. And I wish I could buckle him in, but he'd probably bite me trying to snap him in. So this is my dog. And very cute. I had to send it to Chad, too. I was like, here's your puppy. This is your youngest son in action.
You know what? I bet you he would be right in the airplane, right with that F-16 with Chad if he could, right in the back seat with his little mask on. Loving it.
Would that not be the cutest thing with, like, little mask and little headphones, like little ear blockers? Oh, he would love it.
All right, you have probably the most exciting news story of the week, but we're going to save that for the second half hour. We're going to tease everybody with that. Jamie has the most exciting news story, which I didn't even see this morning. I don't know where you found that, but it's very exciting stuff. And we're going to be going over that next half hour. But we're going to do something a little different this morning. Rather than just doing news, Wednesdays we try and do things that are a little different. Sometimes we have surveys and things like that. Well, today I found at one of the very top, and I'm not going to say which one it is because then you'll cheat and you'll go looking for it, but because I want to get you to guess. I found the top horse songs of all time, I'll tell you what website I found it on. But now I got to tell you, I'm going to give you a disclaimer. This website published the top 30 horse songs of all time, but I have to say that this is of all time, and some of these, you know how I don't like black and white movies. Well.
Oh God.
I don't like black and white songs either, and some of these are way old.
Black and white songs?
These are way old. Some of them you're going to recognize, and some you're probably not, everybody out there. But okay, so what are your guesses for, and you, Jennifer, can play along too. First of all, what are your favorite horse songs, and what are your guesses of what might be on the top 30 songs of all time? And keep in mind that I think this was done by a 90-year-old.
Okay, so probably I'm not going to know many of them. I would say on this list, I'm going to save my number one pick because I don't want to throw out the number one pick right now.
All right.
However,
all right.
I would think the America song "Horse with No Name." 'Cause I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It's so good to be out. Yeah. How about that one?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you that's on the list. Yeah, that's good. That's on the list.
Jennifer, do you have any guesses?
Oh, man, it's so cheesy, but Wildfire, I don't even remember who did it.
I will tell you that's on the list.
Yeah.
That's on the list also. Ding, 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 ding. And Jamie, your favorite singer of all time, going to see him. Which one does he have?
Oh, see, that's my number one pick. From a phone booth in Cheyenne, made a promise to Diane. No more rodeos, I've gone my last go round. And then I'll skip to the chorus. Wild horses.
That's right.
Keep
you're right.
Dragging
it is on the
me away. And I'll lose more than I'm going to win someday.
You guys are doing good. I'll tell you what. You're doing good.
Wild
and
horses
you...
just stay wild.
Now you've created a monster, Glenn.
I know. You're going to have a chance to sing that in just a minute, too. And you're also going to be surprised about that song because there's something related to that. But also, there's another one that you should guess. It's not in the top 10, but it is in the top 30. And it's one of your favorite TV shows of all time, Jamie.
Ooh, this is getting interesting. I'm dying to know. Let's hear the list. I mean, the other thing I was thinking,
okay.
like, but there's a black horse and a cherry tree, but that's not really a song about horses, and that was more recently new, that the K.T. Tunstall song, you know? That's probably not on there, is it?
Well, I have sound files for the top 10. I'm going to play it, and we'll see if you guys recognize these. So this is number 10, everybody.
I'm back in the saddle again.
That was my dad.
Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again.
That's one of those black and white songs.
Yep, but you can buy the whole CD entitled Back in the Saddle Again at Oldies.com for $3.95.
How did you know that?
You get 17 tracks for $3.95 thanks to the mystery.
Jennifer likes black and white movies and black and white songs.
Yes, I do.
So who was that singing?
Gene Autry.
Gene Autry, Back in the Saddle Again. You're absolutely right. All right, now here's one. You won't know the singer because it's just some schmuck in his living room, but it's the only one I could find of this one. And this one you probably sang when you were at camp somewhere.
The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. Ain't what she used to be.
Ain't what she used to be.
The old gray mare.
Wow, that's number 9?
That's number 9. I told you, the person that put this list together was 90 years old, I'm telling you. All right, this is one that you'll recognize probably, Jamie.
Pony boy, pony boy, won't you be my pony boy? Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, whoa, my pony boy. Ride with me, ride with me, won't you take a ride with me?
So who was that?
Is that, it's really hard to hear, but is that, it's not Springsteen, is it?
Yeah, it's Bruce Springsteen, Tony Boy, that's right.
All right.
So Bruce Springsteen made the top 10 list of the best horse songs. All right, now this one goes back to Jennifer again, because I think she's the only one maybe that will know it.
I ride an old paint and I lead an old dam, going to Montana to throw the hoolian. Feed them in the coolies and water in the draw. Their tails are all matted and their backs are all raw. Ride around, little doggies, ride around them slow.
Jennifer?
Oh, I don't know who that one is.
Wow, that's
old. Get Along Little Doggy obviously is the song, but I don't know who's singing it.
No, it's actually the song. I thought the song name was that too, but it's not. It's I Ride an Old Paint, and it's by Arlo Guthrie. And that dates back to like the 40s. So 1940s, that is, people. Although it might as well be the 1840s. So that's Arlo Guthrie, I Ride an Old Paint. I thought you'd have trouble with that one. I'm not sure. You guys might get this one. This is number 6 on the hit parade of favorite horse songs.
Down in the horse corral, standing alone, is an old caballo, a strawberry roan. His legs are all spavined, he's got pigeon toes, little pig eyes.
Jamie?
Am I supposed to know that?
I don't think so. Not unless you follow the Grand Old Opry radio show on a regular basis.
No, but I was going to say for half a second, I thought it was Elvis.
That's actually Marty Robbins doing Strawberry Roan, which I can honestly say I've never heard that song before.
My dad just freaked out. Because he loved that.
Oh, really?
Grendel. I'm sure he knew who that was. He knows all that old-ass music.
He's a country great, but, you know, as I told you my story before, we went to the Grand Old Opry, sat and was at the Ryman Theater, sat on the church pews and watched, and I fell asleep because they had about 9 90-year-olds singing country, and, that was torturous. Here is one that Jamie... that you expect, and you're going to be very disappointed. It's not number
one. A little more than I'm gonna win someday. Wild horse is just a wild, and her heart is all I break. Wild horse, he drags
me away. And I'll lose more than I'm gonna win someday.
Now, one, and of course, that was Jamie's favorite, Garth Brooks doing Wild Horses, and I know you probably thought that was gonna be number one, but it was not.
It should be.
Yeah.
Hold on. I am gonna make a promise right now. I am going to leave for 5 minutes of this show if you're gonna tell me that Taylor Swift's song is better than Garth Brooks' song. She had that stupid White Horse song. It's not stupid, it's really good actually, but if she beats out Garth Brooks, I'm gonna be mad.
No, as a matter of fact, you'll be happy to know that she's not even in the top 30, because you gotta remember that I think whoever put this list together is about 90 years old and probably doesn't know who Taylor Swift is. I keep saying that like I know who put this list together. I know the website that put it out, but I don't know who put the list together. All right, now this is one you're going to be surprised at, and it's going to sound vaguely familiar, like a lot like the last one, and you're going to be there.
You know I can't let you slide through my hands. Wild horses couldn't drag me away.
Rolling Stones, baby. That
yeah,
is a
now,
great song.
But do you think that the Garth Brooks version should have been above it?
I think Garth should have been number one. And let me back up, because you made it sound like I hate Taylor Swift. I love Taylor Swift. I just did not want her to beat out Garth Brooks on a horse song. Okay? So there you go.
I'm not such a big Taylor Swift fan. So now, number three, again, is one of those songs. If you guys know this, I'll be amazed. This goes, I don't even know where this goes back to. But here's number three.
The battle was over at Custer's last stand, and taps were sounding for all the brave men, while one lone survivor, wounded and weak, Comanche, the brave horse, lay at the general's feet.
Yes, no.
What?
What?
I thought it was Johnny Cash, but no, it's not.
Yeah, you were close. It's Johnny Horton, who I have no idea, people.
Johnny who?
Let me stop you right there. Do not say that she was close when you say Johnny Cash and Johnny Horton. Or here's a who. I don't know.
Had the same first name. That was close enough. Johnny Horton. Yeah, Comanche the Brave Horse. I don't know where that came from. All right,
that
here's number...
ridiculous.
I know. Like it was number three on this list out of 30. All right, here's number two. Here's number two. And I think somebody guessed this one. Have Wildfire stuck in your head the rest of the day, because that's what that song does.
That's what that song does.
It just sticks in there. You're gonna be out there tacking up your horse, going Wildfire. And for the longest time, just like yesterday, you know, when I said I thought donkeys grew up to be mules. For the longest time, I never knew this was about a horse. I just never listened back close. Just didn't.
Well,
Michael
sometimes
Martin
don't
Murphy.
Don't admit stuff.
I know. Hey, if we can't pick on ourselves, you know. And, of course, Jamie's guess, and you were absolutely right earlier about the number one.
Don't you know, love? See, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It's
so good to be out on the range. In the desert, you can't remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la, la. Now, Glenn, I'm gonna tell you an honest story about that song.
Okay. By America, of course.
By America, that is the first song I learned on guitar.
Really?
Do you know why that's the first song I learned on guitar?
Because it's easy to play?
The entire song, you use two fingers on two different strings. So it's like the easiest song. The entire song is two, they're not even chords, really. It's just put your finger here and then move your finger here. And then the whole entire song does not change. If you play it again and listen to the music, you'll be like, you're right. It's the exact same music.
All right, here we go.
We have been through the desert on a horse with no name. It's so good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. La, 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 la.
You're right.
Even the la la part doesn't change.
You're absolutely right. I noticed that, so that was the top 10. I noticed that Glenn Forrester posted on our Facebook page that he likes, his favorite was Run for the Roses. And that is in the top 30. That's, of course, done by Dan Fogelberg. And that's the song that, of course, it has become a Derby Day classic, as much as my old Kentucky home has. And that was number 23 on the list. And there's one that I'm going to play this and see if you can hear it. I don't have this one uploaded, but, of course, this is on the list. It is number 22, and I'm surprised you didn't guess it. See if we can hear this. You can't hear this. Let me try it again. Hold on one second. I got to make this work.
Hello.
Hello.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is the parts, unless the horse is a famous mystery.
Let's let this one play.
Right, of course. He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on a standing horse. Talk to this man.
There you go. Mr. Ed was number 22 on the list. There was a couple others. You go ahead.
That song, I mean, it's not really a song. It's the intro to a show. I mean, it's, what do they call those? It's like the opening
theme
music.
Song.
Theme
hey, guess
song.
What I have, too? And we'll have to do this someday. It has nothing to do with horses. But I have a CD of all the most famous theme songs throughout TV history. And we'll have to play Name That Theme Song someday. We'll get a listener on. And we'll play Name That Theme Song someday with you, Jennifer, and a listener. We'll have to do that because that's a lot of fun. There's like 100 of them on there. But a couple others before we get to our first guest, a couple of others on the list were Live Like Horses.
Hold up.
John? Yeah?
Do I get to do my big, humongous, monstrous news story?
No, we're going to wait for the next half hour. We're going to wait for the next half hour for that. Live Like Horses was another one that you might recognize from the top 10. How about Three Horses by Joan Baez? Do you know that one? Yeah.
I love Joan Baez.
I know, me too. One Trick Pony by Paul Simon was on the top 10 list. And I was surprised you didn't guess this one. I thought you would get Beer for My Horses by Toby Keith and Willie Nelson.
Whiskey for my man, beer for my horses. That's a great song.
Yep. So let me see. Crazy Horses by the Osmond Brothers. That was kind of a 70s know-nothing song, in my opinion. So that's it. That was the top 10. This was put out by horsechannel.com. the 30 greatest horse songs by horsechannel.com and the 90-year-old who picked them all. So there we go.
And then Jennifer's going to be singing In Your House all day long.
Fire.
Thanks. Thanks. I've been humming Get Along Little Dogie all this while trying to get that out. Now you've just fouled up 3.5 minutes worth of effort.
Here we go. How about this? From a phone booth in Cheyenne, I made a promise to Diane. No more rodeos. I'd gone my last go round. Wild horses keep dragging. There's nobody harder to sing than Garth, okay? I sing really awesome every other time, just not Garth.
Did you notice I'm giving you a little Garth fix every day, getting you ready for Saturday night when you're going to see him for your intimate concert?
Yes, I'm super excited. Garth Brooks, be at the concierge desk at the Wynn at 9:30, Jamie, and pick up your tickets. I'll be there. I got to get a cute outfit, though. Jennifer, what should I wear? Should I go with the whole, like, Taylor Swift look and get, like, a cute little dress and, like, little boots or and a cowboy hat? Or is that, like, every other chick's going to be wearing that at the Garth Brooks show, so I should do something else? I don't know.
Every chick at the Garth Brooks show is going
to
be wearing a skirt made of material that is more appropriate for sheer curtains that barely covers up her panty lines, spray tanned legs, and cowboy boots fresh from Stages West in Pigeon Forge. And you need to do something different. I would suggest something a little more sophisticated.
I should really get some sun on my legs then.
So that farmer tan will be clearly obvious.
Man, I mean, he's going to be like, that is definitely a real cowgirl because I got white legs and my forearms up to where my shirt sleeves are totally super tan. So maybe
you know
like
how
that.
You were saying earlier that I was doing too much TMI?
That was TMI, huh? I got to lay out. I got to go. Sun's coming up. I got to start hitting the in the pool.
Yeah, you guys don't need to go to tanning beds out there. You can just lay out for 10 minutes.
Oh, just 10
That's
minutes.
Your...
That's it.
Yeah. No. All right, do the ad, and then we're going to get to our first guest.
All right, fine. But if anybody has any outfit suggestions for me, seriously, jamie@horseradionetwork.com, or you can go ahead and post it on our Facebook page. I need help dressing myself to go to Garth Brooks in Vegas. Thank you so much to EasySignsOnline.com for sponsoring today's show. You can visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options and see all the pricing up front. From vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall nameplates to farm entrance signs, they also have farm, business, school, and church signs. They now offer a complete line of indoor signs. Yeah, just get one for every horse in the barn. Great use in offices, church, schools. They have 6x6 to up to 4x8 feet and any size in between. So they have your indoor sign needs covered. It's really easy. The pricing is actually online as opposed to the other companies that I looked at for my farm sign. You can call them at 1-800-640-8180. They will ship to every state in the U.S., but you guys, right now, free shipping promotion today. Easy, that's E-Z, signsonline.com. Free shipping today, and that's a lot of money because the signs are big. There you go.
Hey,
I'm done.
Did you get your Easy Signs Online farm sign put up at your new place yet?
Do you want to know the honest truth?
It doesn't fit.
Oh, no. It fits, and we're going to put it up, but our former landlords, they're so dang mad at us that I didn't want to put it up for fear they would, like, vandalize it or throw eggs at it or something. So I have not put up the farm sign yet because I love it too much. So every time I open my garage door, there's Flyover Farms, and it's really beautiful in my garage because I protect it, and I love it.
All right, good. Well, let's talk to our first guest. She's a regular here on the show. She comes on every once in a while, but she's on today because she has a terrific new book out, and we want to talk to her about that. But first, we have to say hello, Lisa Wysocki.
How are you?
Good. You have to speak up a little bit. You're in a bad cell. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on my cell phone, so I'll speak up.
All right, good. Now tell us before we get started, what's your favorite horse song of all time?
Oh, my goodness. I have so many. But, you know, it's if anybody's watched the Black Beauty movie, it's the theme song from the Black Beauty movie. It's not really a horse song, but I just love it.
Okay, there you go. I haven't seen that because I don't apparently
it's
do
awesome.
Old movies.
It's awesome. Yeah.
All right, cool.
And the music from, Lisa, have you seen The Man from Snowy River?
Yes. Oh, isn't it great?
The music in that is phenomenal. That should have been on the list. Dun, 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 dun. Like when he's galloping through the woods and he's chasing the Brumbies and he's going to get them and he jumps off the mountain. Okay, sorry. Carry on. Tell us about your book.
All right, Lisa, the book is called The Opium Equation, and I had an opportunity to read it. But I want you to tell people, now, you've written a number of other books. We had you on about a book, and the title was long, and I don't remember the name of it right now, but we had you on about your book that you wrote about country music singers and their horses. What was the book called?
Yeah, that was called Horse Country, and we had 27 stars of country music, and it was just a beautiful four-color display that the publisher came up with. And, you know, if you love country music and you love horses, I mean, this is the book.
And you've written a number of others. You've written a number of others, too. It's so convenient that we had you on the day we're talking about music. But you've written a number of others, too. But this is your first fiction book. What inspired you to write a fiction book?
You know, if anybody has ever read a Dick Francis book, Dick Francis was the jockey who rode for the Queen Mother in England, and then he started writing all his mysteries, and I was so excited about the fact that you could actually write stories about horses and make it a mystery, and it really has been my lifelong passion to write a horse mystery, and I actually wrote this book 17 years ago. And it's just now getting published, so I'm just really pumped about it.
Wow, 17 years.
Yeah, it's been through three different publishers, and this one finally made it through to publication. It came out 2 weeks ago, and I'm just excited.
Well, I mean, I know that this is, and I'm glad you prefaced that with Dick Francis, because, boy, when I first met Jennifer, there was nobody she would have rather read than a Dick Francis book.
Oh, yeah. If the people haven't read Dick Francis, he passed away a couple of years ago, but he does great horse mysteries in that kind of British genre that they do, and it's just so clean, and the writing is so great, and he collaborated on those books with his wife, and they're just amazing, and, you know, I couldn't begin to do anything like Dick Francis. So I ended up throwing a little humor into my horse mystery.
Yeah, and I like that. I do like that because, you know me, I like humor anyway. So I think that's what helped keep my attention because, to be honest, I was not a big Dick Francis fan. Jennifer was, but I like this book. And I'm putting this up because it's part of the Cat Enright series, and I assume that this is meant to be the first one in that series.
Yeah, the publisher signed me for two books, so there will definitely be a second book, and if it sells well enough, there will be third and fourth and fifth, and I'm, you know, these characters are just really wild and wacky and crazy, and they've lived in my head for 17 years. They're like real people to me, so I really hope that the books take off and everybody enjoys them as much as I do.
Well, tell us about the book, the plot.
Well, Cat Enright is the protagonist. She's an Appaloosa horse trainer outside of Nashville, Tennessee, and she's surrounded by just very unusual characters. She's got a songwriter on one side of her her horse farm, and she's got a retired movie star, and then she's got a country music star, a juvenile delinquent, and an elderly woman with short, spiky, electric blue hair. And she's also got a possibly psychic horse in her barn. Cat is implicated in a murder and has to take time from her horse training business to solve the murder so she keeps herself out of jail.
Gotcha. And it was good. I mean, I like the quirkiness of the characters. I think that's what I really liked about this book because it kind of, you know, I could kind of relate to Jamie that way. So I think in the next book you should really add a kind of quirky morning talk show host to it that lives in Arizona.
Oh, you know what? That would be great, and specifically because the second book is actually set at an all-breed horse show, so that would work out really, really well. I don't know if it's going to be set in Arizona, though. I think I have to stick with Tennessee.
Okay.
Well, and I would appreciate it if you would stop involving me in your big ideas, okay?
Oh, but it would be so much fun. And, you know, in the book, I actually have real people who turned into characters in the book. The veil between Kat Enright's world and mine is very thin. So I actually have some real journalists who ended up in the book. So you guys better watch out, because if in the second book, you actually could turn up in the book.
Now, Lisa, I'm going to go ahead and tell you I really appreciate that, but you're going to have to talk to my agent. Because they'll have to collect.
This is a true story. Everybody who's real actually got to approve their part in the book. And there's a journalist in there by the name of Chuck Dauphin. And Chuck is actually a real person. And in the book, there is a funeral scene that Morgan Fairchild is in, the actress Morgan Fairchild. I'm editing Morgan's book, and so I actually know Morgan. And the only change that the journalist requested was that at the funeral scene, he got to stand next to Morgan Fairchild. So I changed that on the last version.
That's funny. That's
You know so many cool people.
Oh, the world is filled with so many cool people, just like you guys.
Now, I did say, you know, Jamie's all defensive there. I could have said, can you make Jamie the murder victim in the next book? But I didn't say that.
Oh, no, that would be bad.
I would love to be the murderer, though. But see, now we've ruined the ending, so you can't use me.
We can't do that. No, we've already given it away. Yeah.
Now, I know you. Yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
I was just going to ask, is it strange now, like, going out and promoting a book that you wrote 17 years ago?
Yeah, you know what's really weird is we lived so differently 17 years ago. I mean, we didn't have the internet hardly anybody had cell phones. Our world has just changed so much. So I had to go back in and really update the book before it was published. And so that was kind of interesting to have to make those changes and really see how much we've changed.
Yeah, 17 years ago, I was like 2 years old. I don't remember anything. But you're right. 17 years ago, I mean, you wouldn't have had, oh, let me just go Google that, or let me call him on my cell phone, or let's do this. So was it difficult to make changes to something that was so kind of near and dear to your heart?
Well, there were certain areas that were a little bit more challenging. But, you know, what's also very interesting is the way we take care of our horses has changed in the last 17 years, and how we relate with our horses has changed, too. And, Glenn, you haven't seen this, but in the final version of the book, Kat Enright, at the end of most of the chapters, gives a tip about horses, such as horses, well, people expect respect with horses, you have to earn it. And so, you know, we're giving away these little tips at the end of a lot of the chapters. And, you know, 17 years ago, people weren't so concerned about that.
Yeah, that's right. True. I mean, the rebirth of the natural horsemanship happened, you know, in the last 17 years, not so much before. So I could see that kind of changing your approach to talking about the horse training and everything.
Yeah, so that had to change. And what was also a little bit of a challenge is putting out enough horse terminology that horse people really were engaged, but yet the non-horse people weren't really overwhelmed with terms that they didn't understand or didn't care about. So I had to change some things. I had a term in there a couple of times where Kat Enright, the main character, was suppling a horse. She was loosening the horse and getting the horse to kind of loosen up, and nobody who was not a horse person understood that. So I had to change that.
Well, and I wanted to say that, you know, when I wrote the, you know, I had an opportunity to write a quote for the book, and that's the one thing I said is that this book will leave you wanting more, horse lover or not. And because, you know, I'm a horse husband, I am not a horse trainer by any stretch of the imagination, and there wasn't anything in here I didn't understand. You know, I think a non-horse person is going to enjoy this book, because it's not so much about horses and horse training, it's about people. So
Yes, it is. Yeah, the Opium Equation really is this wacky cast of characters that just kind of come together through geographic location and are just involved in this murder. And but the horses too, you know, became part of the story. There's a yearling filly that named Gigi, who is just like a lot of teenage girls. She's just kind of bouncy and doesn't think things through, and she actually has a relationship with another one of your regular guests, Doc Tucker, the equine dentist. So,
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and it also brings Tennessee in, and anybody that's spent any time at all in Tennessee, especially when you get into rural Tennessee, is going to relate to this book, and it's a lot like rural Kentucky. So, I mean, you get a little bit of the South in there, too.
You know, that was so interesting, too. I grew up in Minnesota, and coming from the North and then living in the South, I think I see things maybe with little different eyes. The South is so fascinating. I mean, there are so many unusual people there, and I incorporated some of that into the book. There are some very unusual characters, but they are based on people I actually have met.
Okay, Jamie, and you're from the South, so I kind of think that you're going to be in the next book.
I think that's a given, yeah. Yeah, Jamie, you don't have a choice anymore.
But then it won't, you know, Jamie, it won't matter because the next one won't be out for 17 years, so we'll be
fine. Yeah, there you go.
That's true. I'll be an old lady by then. I'll be at least 30 in 17 years.
I love it.
Well, Lisa,
this is so much fun,
and are you enjoying the book tour so far?
I am, yeah. I was in Madison, Wisconsin last night, and I did some libraries in Minnesota, and I'm on my way to the Women's Horse Industry Association's National Conference, so I'm speaking there and doing some book signings, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great, and then I'm headed to the PATH International, the Therapeutic Riding Conference in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm the co-chair of the horse fair there this year, and that's going to be a great event in Lexington in November.
Well, you be sure to let us know when you're here so we can meet up for dinner or something.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. And thanks for the blurb on the book. I just really appreciate it. We're getting a lot of positive comments and turning some people on to horses in the morning, too. So, great.
Well, that'll be terrific. We'll look forward to seeing you in November. The book is The Opium Equation. It's available. Is it available in bookstores, or should we have them go to Amazon? Where should we have them go?
In stores and online, everywhere.
Okay. So, I know I saw it on Amazon, and this is not, you know, it's not a super pricey book. It actually came out in soft cover, didn't it?
It came out in what they call trade paperback. And actually, I checked this morning, Amazon.com has it for sale for, I think it's $10.91. They've got it on sale. So that's a really good deal.
And I wanted to tell everybody, this will make a great gift book. If you're looking for a gift the upcoming holiday season, this is going to make a great gift book for you. And I also want to tell everybody that we have a brand new copy here that we are going to give away to the winner of Really Bad Ads this week. So be sure to get your Really Bad Ads in. We're going to do that. And we're also going to have two winners of Really Bad Ads this week because we're also giving away a three-pack of the socks from Draper Therapies that I love so much and basically live in. So we're going to be giving both of those things away. But we have a book here of The Opium Equation from Lisa Wysocki that we're going to give away this Friday. So get your ads in for Really Bad Ads to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Get them in before tomorrow night. So thank you so much for that also, Lisa, and we look forward to seeing you soon. It's The Opium Equation by Lisa Wysocki.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks,
all right,
Lisa.
Have a good trip. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Yeah,
before we
Glenn,
get
you,
yeah, go ahead.
You forgot to tell everybody that you're now, I mean, obviously you're the founder of the Horse Radio Network. You're the host of many of the shows, and you're now published. You're published.
That's right. That's right. I am quoted on the book.
You're quoted saying, I like the book. It was good. I don't remember what you quoted. What'd you say?
Well, you know how people, I hate reading all the quotes and they write five sentences about the book. So I just wrote from the first page to last, The Opium Equation will keep you engaged in wanting more, horse lover or not, period.
And that's probably, now where can we find that? Is that on Amazon.com or is that on the
Amazon.com?
I mean,
Amazon.com. Yeah, you can see that on Amazon.com. I'm seeing here, I didn't make the book cover.
Oh, never mind.
Looks like
you're
I made
not really published.
No, I didn't actually. I didn't make the book cover. It looks like I wasn't good enough for that. let me see who made the book cover. You don't even want to know. That other radio guy, Rick Land, made the book cover.
Oh, why didn't we talk to her about that? Rick Land makes the book cover and you get nothing.
I'll tell you what, we better be in that next book. Now I'm pissed. I got to call Lisa back.
Get her on the phone and let's talk to her about this. How dare her?
All right, let's do the big news, and then we'll get to our favorite. We thought today we played all those top horsey songs. Well, they missed one, and it's our favorite here on Horses in the Morning. We're going to play that in a minute. It's also the favorite of some of the people that I've now posted on our Facebook page. But before we do that, the big news, and I guess I should I play it again to get everybody started, at least started?
I'll tell you when, okay?
Okay.
All right, so by the way, I have the Basset Hound in here, and she keeps barking.
I hear that.
Sorry about that. Yeah. The best news story that I've seen in a very long time is about a new movie. There is a new movie that is coming to the screen for horse lovers around the world. The movie is this, Glenn. Go.
Hello. I'm Mr. Ed.
Wait! You can't stop it!
I didn't stop it. It's going.
Okay, well, Mr. Ed, the 1960s television series about the talking horse is going to be made into a movie. Fox 2000 has picked up the film rights to make the movie based on the series, which, of course, stars the troublemaking Mr. Ed and Wilbur Post, who, he's the hapless owner, they call him. The film is going to be produced by David Friendly and Jim Mahoney. Elizabeth Gabler's Fox 2000 studio was also behind the 2006 production of Felica, which starred Tim McGraw, which I absolutely loved. However, I would like to say that Fox 2000 is a legitimate company. If they say they're going to make the movie, they're going to make it now. We do not have any idea who's going to star Wilbur. We don't know anything about Mr. Ed. We know nothing about nothing, just that they're going to make it. So it's really not.
I got it. I think Johnny Depp can play Mr. Ed.
I thought that too.
He gets all the big roles right now, right? Johnny Depp is the hottest guy out there. I think he should play Mr. Ed.
Well, he's playing Tonto, so we should spread the wealth. I don't think that there would be anybody better. And we can put this on Facebook and find out what people think. I do not think that there is going to be anybody better to play Wilbur Post. None other than, oh gosh, his name just slipped my mind. Will Ferrell.
Oh, that would work. That would work. Yeah, that would work too. I like that.
Will Ferrell.
I'm trying to think. God, it's been so long since I watched Mr. Ed. There was a female in there. Was it the wife? Was it his wife?
Yes, that was his wife. But she never got to see Mr. Ed speak. He only spoke to Wilbur.
Right. And
then
it was all this thing about her almost figuring it out, or, she would walk in and they would almost get caught or something, if I remember right.
Well, Glenn, there were 6 seasons of him hiding, talking to his horse from his wife and his neighbor.
Hey, the other thing, too, is, if they're going to be making a Mr. Ed movie, you should buy stock in the peanut butter company, because they're going to be needing a lot of peanut butter.
Now, I'm sorry, I have read that, and again, we did talk to the zebra trainer, and she said that's how they got their zebras to talk, but the guy who played Mr. Ed said, Wilbur Post's character said publicly that they used peanut butter, and then he had to retract that statement and say he made it up because the producers wanted to keep the method a secret because they didn't want to reveal that he really actually, was trained to speak as opposed to made to speak. But I do have some fun facts. The horse's name was Bamboo Harvester. Do you know what breed Mr. Yeah. Do you know what breed Mr. Ed was?
Well, you know, we heard rumors that he was also a zebra, but I'm not buying that.
Oh, well, that was just dumb, because that was just you.
Yeah.
Bamboo Harvester, Mr. Ed was a, and I never would have guessed this, but I knew it wasn't a purebred. He's a saddlebred Arabian cross. I guess it would be a national show horse. And he was a parade horse before he starred on TV. He was euthanized at in 1968 at the age of 19 because he had severe arthritis. Nowadays, of course, we could probably inject the joint and give him Legends and Attaquan and stuff like that. But he had a horse double, and the double's name was Pumpkin, because that's what I thought his name was Pumpkin. Have I thoroughly exhausted you with Mr. Ed knowledge right now? Are you exhausted?
I don't remember Ed doing any stunts that required a double.
You know, you make a good point. It was like maybe there was like a – because Mr. Ed had his own door and had a rope attached, so sometimes he would reach out and grab the rope and close his door when he was mad at Wilbur. I have every episode of Mr. Ed on DVD. Of the entire collection. So, I mean, he's like, sometimes he would go on trailer rides and he would go in the car and he would go down the road. And okay. I mean, he was always, Jennifer, getting into wacky situations.
Well, maybe he had a travel double that did the travel scenes.
Maybe that was it.
Close-up scenes.
I'm trying to remember, I have two thoughts going here. I'm trying to remember where any of these, it was black and white, but in the later years, was it turned to color then, or was it always black and white?
In my knowledge, it is always black and white. They may have colored it. You know, they used to do that after it was done, was they would recolor it. That when
right.
I watched it on Nick at Night growing up, like every evening at like 7 o'clock Nick at Night, Mr. Ed came on, and I would watch it there, and it was always in black and white.
Okay. All right. So are they going to use CGI here and now they'll make its mouth move that way and I don't need to buy peanut butter stock?
Yes. They say they're going to do CGI.
There goes my money-making venture. I was going to make millions buying peanut butter stock. Oh, well.
I don't know. I don't know why you would think that would make you millions, but I guess.
Well, that's
better
cool.
Than
that's
the,
exciting. You know, there's so many cool horse movies coming out right now. There's just we got horse movies everywhere. Well, let's do our favorite horse song, the one that we like the most here on Horses in the Morning, and apparently it's the favorite of some of our listeners also. Screw that list.
She talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? Now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders. I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls?
Sometimes
Girls and Horses, our favorite song, horsey song here on Horses in the Morning. Of course, that's Templeton Thompson, and you can find all of her horse music and other music, too, at templetonthompson.com. Well, today's show highlight on the Horse Radio Network is the Western Radio Show came out this morning at number 74, and it was called Western Dogs. I got to tell you, Jamie, this was a fun interview. They did one of their interviews on this episode was with Tim Leppard, who is known as, well, he has an act called the Team Ghost Riders that they do at rodeos around the country. And what it is a specialty act of trained monkeys who ride working border collies. And it is the cutest darn thing because the monkeys are all dressed up in chaps and they look like little cowboys and they have a saddle on the border collies. And they do this whole act where the monkeys are riding around on these border collies. And he's won act comedy act of the year 3 times at the National Rodeo. He's a fun, funny guy. And then they also do this, have an interview with Chris Thompson, who does working cattle dogs. They talked to him about how to train dogs and stuff. It was a episode that really went to the dogs, and it was fun. It was a fun episode on the Western Radio Show, Tammy and Alan. If I had not known that Tammy didn't drink, I thought she was drunk because she giggled through the whole monkey conversation. She just giggled through the whole thing. So it was a fun episode over at Western Radio Show. You can hear it at horseradionetwork.com. Well, Christy is on with us, and before we get to talking about health stuff, I just have to say that this is probably the last time that Christy's going to be on with us because she's just too darn cool for us anymore. I saw pictures of you and your latest skydiving venture with all those other people doing formations and stuff, and you're just way too cool for us. I was so impressed.
Well, thanks, but you know, you could get out and make a skydive. You could be cool too.
Go, Glenn. Do it.
I would probably try it with the tandem thing, you know, with the other person. I would probably give that a try, but I'm probably over the weight limit. We'd need 2 parachutes.
Absolutely
probably.
Not.
Yeah, probably.
No, you can't. You're not getting out of it that easy. Well, you know, Jamie, I was going to give you a little grief too, because you know I've mentioned to you a couple times this year that I was going out to Eloy, Arizona, to train. You know, which is not too far away from you, and you know the Nationals are going to be there starting Halloween weekend. You should come out.
All right, I can't wait. I'm so jumping out of a plane on Halloween weekend. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Hey, just come out.
Yeah,
and watch.
I noticed
there's a lot of people that just come out to watch.
She's been avoiding you. You noticed that too, and
she has had
the opportunity. To be close.
That's why I'm calling
and,
her
know,
out on the air.
And Chad, he jumps out of airplanes. I'm sure that he's had to do parachute practice, being the super-duper pilot he is.
No.
You know?
He has never jumped out of an airplane. Not one time he's like that. I mean, he would if he had to.
Really? You mean they don't practice ejecting like that?
Glenn, if you practice ejecting out of it, first of all, you can't really walk to the door of an F-16 and jump out, right? Like, there's like a bubble above you. That's it. So they have to pull this one handle, and they pull this one handle, and their seat shoots up into the air, and the parachute comes out, and they just plunge to the ground wherever they land. It's no science like Christy is, where she like, grab hands, you guys, and spin around, and let's fall sore and make a superstar. I don't know.
We could go through the names of some of the formations, and you would be howling. So, yeah, they're
exactly.
All right. Well,
I kid you not. There's one sequence called Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata. There you go. And that's what I'm telling you, Glenn. Is that if Chad were to pretend to go ahead and practice pulling the eject button in an airplane, and then the top glass pops off, and then he flies up into the air. Where do you think that airplane goes?
Yeah,
that's a really expensive training jump.
Yeah, that's true. I just
that
thought
puts
you
all
know
mine to shame.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the serious stuff.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Christy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Thank you so much for that. We did try to return a little bit to gross this week with the wounds.
Yes, so I'm excited about this.
Very good. And, of course, Glenn,
not
there
so
is
much.
Video. There's video just for you. Exactly
oh,
for
I'm
you.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so, you know, we all know that horses like to hurt themselves in all the most creative ways possible. And we wanted to talk a little bit about horse wounds and initially assessing them, see what you got so you can tell your vet a little bit on the phone if you think you need your vet out. And that's another point is when do you really need to call the vet out for a wound? Some things are obvious, some less so. So, Aaron, can you talk to us a little bit about initially assessing the wounds?
Yes, I definitely can. And I don't have my notes in front of me, Christy, so we're going to have to go through the bullet points through you.
All right.
But assessing the wounds is very, very important, like you said, to give the vet on the phone an idea of what they're walking into or maybe what the client can handle at home. Because nowadays we want to try to, you know, watch our monies, and if we can handle it at home, so be it. You know, it'd be like a simple cut that your child gets or that your spouse gets. The where the wound is located is paramount. So let's say an eyelid laceration, that's definitely something that needs to be taken care of because the horse needs to be able to open and close their eyelid, and they need the lashes for protection from the flies. But maybe a cut on the front of the chest, they ran through a fence and they have this superficial cut in the front of their chest, or they've been rubbing on the fence and they've made an abrasion like a skin knee, those would be a little less life-threatening or emergency basis. Those are something that maybe you might have the vet out the next day and just kind of check, make sure on the right program of addressing and treating the wound, that kind of thing. So where they're located is a huge factor. The other items that you want to look for is, does it involve structures? Okay, I know some people would gross out probably faint probing in or looking at the wound, but some of them are pretty darn obvious. Is the skin completely cut through? Are there things protruding out of the wound? I hate to say that, but you know, I guess we're all about grossing out Glenn here. Bone
yes.
pieces could be sticking out of the wound. We could have tendons cut in half. We could have a tendon cut a little bit. So there's a lot of different structures you could actually identify. And then, of course, bleeding. Bleeding occurs when there's a cut. So is it oozing? Is it pouring out at a very fast pace, like pouring out of a pitcher? Or is it spurting out in pulse increments? And that would be arterial.
And that's at the point where I run to the house going, Jennifer! And then she goes out and handles
Jennifer,
it. That's pretty much, you know what? You said you could identify those various parts if you look close enough, but the problem is I ain't looking close enough.
Uh-huh.
Hanging around.
Okay, so I'll give you an example. I got a call, and the horse had a cut on its chest. Okay, and as I said, chest wounds, probably not, or, you know, chest area, not a big deal. Well, this one was quite a large cut, and they could see the muscle, and they could see it looked like a piece of steak because it was cut in half, so they could see inside the muscle. All it takes
oh
is one look.
Gosh.
So, and
then
they were running,
job,
you know, to call the vet. And all they had to do was take one look and said, oh, my God, and then they ran.
That'd be
you
me.
Know, it's times like this, Glenn, that I realize I am so glad I'm a vegetarian. When she talks about the horse's wound looking like a steak, I really thank God.
Well, another point we wanted to mention. Oh, go ahead. Another point we wanted to mention as well, as far as just assessing the wound, is I think it's very easy sometimes for people to see a wound on their horse, especially if it's a bad one, and say, oh, my God, and get right in there to take a look and see what's going on. But another point to keep in mind is to make sure that you're not going to injure yourself by doing so. You know, if that wound is really painful or if the horse is, say, maybe caught in a fence with a big wound but he's still wrapped up in some wire, you need to be real careful how you get to that horse to and make sure that you're not going to get hurt in the process of trying to take care of your horse.
Absolutely. I mean, they'll be fractious if they're caught up in the fence, or they'll be fractious in a trailer accident, or, you know, there might be a kicking episode with a couple horses kicking each other out in the pasture and then one's running off, you know, with a leg held high or limping on a leg because they got a pretty good blow to the leg. So you need to make sure that they're calm and you're calm and everybody's in the safe environment to evaluate.
Absolutely. So let's say you found your horse in the fence, or you know I take that back. He's calm. You're taking care of things. Now what do you do? What kind of first aid do you need to apply?
Well, I think we've covered some of this in the first aid, and I love reiterating it because some people just don't seem to understand. Whatever you'd use on your wounds is what I would recommend using on the horse's wounds. You don't have to have, to say you're, you know, at the house or whatever and your stuff's down at the barn. You can grab some of the stuff from the inside your house to clean it. I'm not really big, though, on the soapy, you know, Dial soap idea because the soap and detergent in there tends to irritate the cells and cause some cell death and wounds. But, you know, your plain Betadine solutions that you should have a handy bottle of, that works very nicely to kind of be antibacterial and clean up some of the dirt and debris that might be in the wound. The other thing is if it's bleeding, you want to stop the bleeding before you do any kind of cleaning at all, because if you clean, you may aggravate whatever is cut or oozing. And the whole idea of the bleeding is you're going to add bandages one on top of the other. And they teach us in human first aid, too, is put a towel. Put and make sure it's a clean towel. You can even use your leg wraps and put that right on top and hold it. And if it starts oozing through that, then you add another one on top of that. Don't pull that one off because you're going to start a clot, and the clot may peel away, and you're going to open it up again. So you keep adding on top with some direct pressure. Lower limbs or upper limbs, you can wrap the legs like you would when you're shipping them with a cotton wrap, and then your standing wrap or vet wrap right on top of that to put some pressure on that wound. If it's upper on the upper forelimb, I would make sure you have a wrap on the lower limb and do what we call a stacking bandage so it doesn't slip down off the leg while the horse moves around and tries to get on a trailer or whatever you need them to do, get into the stall from the pasture. Stacking bandage will hold that top bandage in place. I'm not a big fan of taping the bandage to the leg because you can cause some tourniquet issues with a tape directly onto the leg. I like the whole idea of stacking the bandage and putting cotton wrap and vet wrap on top of that, and then cotton wrap and vet wrap on top of that if you need to.
All right. Now, is there ever a situation where you'd want to use a tourniquet? So I know people often think about using them if horse gets snake bit or it's a really bad bleed or whatnot.
Good
but
question.
Seems like what's the time they recommend against?
Yeah, I've always
wondered
that, too.
The only time I think I would recommend it is if you're on a trail ride and you are miles and miles and miles from somebody that's going to help you, and you're hours probably from getting some help, the direct pressure will do some incredible work for stopping the bleeding in a horse. It would usually be arterial. They're pretty deep. They're pretty protective in a horse. Except for, like, the lower foot area if you get caught in a cattle guard or something to that effect or in a fence. But there's really rarity for a horse owner to have to use a tourniquet.
Okay. Don't make it your first resort to whip off your belt and go to town, huh?
Absolutely. I would definitely avoid it at all possibilities. And if you're going to use it, I would use it with the direction of a veterinarian on the phone with you. But in the meantime, stacking bandages on top of the wound, if the blood oozes through the wound, through the bandage, do another bandage on top of that. Please don't pull that one off. The really grotesque, heavy bleeding wounds aren't really that often. The ones I've run into most are in the foot, the face, and when something, like I said, the muscle was transected through in that horse. That was heavily bleeding at the time. And they did a great job because they stacked towel on top of towel on top of towel. By the time I got there, there were about four towels and two people hanging onto the horse, pushing up against the wound, trying to keep it from bleeding. And when we went to peel it off, it started oozing rather than pouring out. So they did a great job of clotting because it took me a good 20, 30 minutes to get to them, that the clot was already formed within the wound itself and not necessarily on the bandage. So when we pulled it off, we were able to assess it.
Cool. Very good. Now, another thing that we get questions about sometimes at the horse is, you know, what should I put on a wound right away, even if the vet's coming out? And this sort of seems to be usually a question about, what, antibiotics or, you know, maybe some of the wound powders or something like that to try and get it to clot before the vet gets there. But I usually hear from the vets that they'd really rather you not use most of that kind of stuff if the vet's coming out.
Absolutely. There's a few in those stores I'd love to throw in the trash can before, you know, on my way out of a feed store or tack store. They're meant for livestock. They really are meant for livestock. If you want that wound to properly heal, and I'm talking about large gaping wounds, properly heal, or if you even want to have a chance to suture it, don't use those items. And they're caustic and cauterizing items. I'd be hesitant to name a few here on the show because I might get some hate mail, but there are definitely ones out there that don't do anything but stop bleeding and then dry up the edges of the skin so we can't suture them together. Or it takes the wound twice as long to heal because all you did was basically deaden the whole surface of it by cauterizing it, and that whole surface now has to be scraped off because pink
can
and
I,
red and blood is good healing.
Can I name something just because I'm trying to figure out what you guys are talking about, and I'll just say the product because I'm sure it has its uses. Are you talking about like Wonder Dust and stuff like that?
Absolutely. Wonder Dust is one of them that I'll get out to a wound. They called me and said, my horse cut itself. I need you to come out and take a look at it. It probably needs sutures. And I get out there, and they filled the whole area with Wonder Dust. I can't
speak
to that.
Yeah, that's not good.
Wonder
no,
Dust
that
has
like...
help with proud flesh. It does slow down the proud flesh. But that's if you let, and these are going to get in fancy words here, medical terms, that's if you let the wound heal by second intention. If you do the primary intention, primary closure with sutures, the wound's going to heal beautifully. Some wounds can heal by second intention. Even some ones, drastic ones that had, you know, things cut, they either are preferred to be healed by second intention or that's the only option you have because it was delayed so long when you found the wound that suturing it up is not a possibility at that time. Then you'll probably use Wonder Dust once you get to the heavy scar tissue or proud flesh time. And that occurs 3 to 5 days after the wound is created. There's going to be some proud flesh coming in, and it becomes what we call exuberant or profuse proud flesh that you want to use Wonder Dust on it somewhere around that time, depending on the size of the wound and where it's located.
Yeah, and this stuff kind of tends to set up like concrete on there as well, so if you, as I recall, not having ever
absolutely.
Used that before, of course.
Absolutely. I mean, really, that wound that I saw where the gentleman called me out and he had already put Wonder Dust on, it already had concreted in, basically. And I told him that, you know, in a week I'd like to come back and cut everything away, and so it's pretty and pink and, you know, that kind of thing. Because it was going to take about that long to scrub it all off because he had almost emptied a whole bottle into this wound area.
Oh, God.
Was trying to keep it from bleeding, but it's just like humans. You want to put a bandage on top of a bandage on top of a bandage. If you've taken any first aid course for yourself or your family members or a club you belong to, they never tell you to put some cauterizing agent on there unless you're like out in the boonies and you'd have to have helicopter lift out if they ever found you kind of thing.
Right. And I will say that we did use the dust on some summer sore type, you know, kind of more chronic issues, and it seemed to help those out pretty well. But, yeah, just not so much for the fresh wounds, especially if you want your vet to come out and stitch. So,
yeah, chronic is a key word there. If it's acute, brand new, it's fleshy, it's pink, it's bleeding, we like that. That means it's healthy. Once you put the Wonder Dust on, it gets black and white looking, kind of like an overcharged steak. Sorry, Jeannie. Then, you know, there's nothing you can do with something like that. So.
I just want to let you know, Dr. Jones, that I will take one for the team, okay? You wouldn't mention the product name because you didn't want hate mail. I welcome hate mail. Bring it on. I don't care.
Well, there's one that's blue in color and has a name similar to that color that people love to use all the time. another one. We can't suture behind that one. It dries up the skin. It dries it off. Keep supplies off. That's great. But it takes longer to heal.
Are you talking about Blue Coat or SWAT?
Blue Coat. SWAT is pink.
Okay. Well, SWAT comes now in clear colors, too. But you said it keeps the flies
blue
off. I didn't know Blue Coat. Yeah. So basically anything blue or purple, do not put it on a fresh wound because the doctor
right.
will not.
Right. Or that,
not
or that scarlet colored item. Yeah.
It makes it a little hard to see what color the structures are that are sticking out of the wound, right? There you go, Glenn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But like to throw in a couple notes here real quick, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Two cases that I want to, you know, make note of. One I just saw the other day, horse is lame, very lame in the hind limb. Steps out of the stall, you see it short and stride. And there's just a minor bit of swelling on the inside of the lower leg down by the cannon bone and the fetlock area. And this minor swelling has a very small cut associated with it. Have no idea how he cut himself. He's a trained horse in the stall in a nice little paddock pasture. But there is a cut. Every time I touch that cut, he would, you know, go through the roof. Now, he's a bit of a pansy. that cut wasn't all the way through the skin, so I couldn't suture it up. It just split the skin open enough, but whatever he did to it, he had an associated bruise with it because there was edema and swelling, and it was very painful and had some heat to it. A cut as small as that could really wreak havoc on a horse, as well as something that splayed him from one side down to the other, which I saw at a, this case was very interesting. The client woke up in the morning, looked out their window, saw the horses in the pasture throughout the feed, came back in, got dressed, you know, showered, got dressed to go to work, came back out, was getting in the truck to go to work, didn't pay attention that they all came up and ate or not, just saw the horses standing out in the field, they weren't down rolling or anything like that. Got in the truck, drove down to the gate, and usually all the horses greet them at the gate when they leave or say goodbye, and this little tiny pink hadn't moved. Hadn't really moved since this morning when they first got up. Thought that was really odd. Got out, walked out to the paint. The right side was facing them. The left side was filleted from the neck all the way to the hip, as if some dogs got it. I mean, filleted. Skin peeled back, a couple muscle structures, not completely transected, but cut. But no marks at all on the right side of this horse. Very, very interesting.
Well, did they ever determine what did happen?
No, all they could determine that was possibly either a pack of dogs or a pack of coyotes, because they've been hearing them lately. It's the younger of all the animals that are on their property of their horses, so it's probably the one that one would go after primarily. Never found any hair on a fence line anywhere that if it got caught up and then finally made its way out. But just amazing. It was on the neck and the trunk. That area heals very, very well. It's better to get sutures in it because you close, you know, the skin's a barrier for infection. So you close all these raw wounds so that no infection occurs. But if they had all the skin pulled back and they couldn't bring it together because there's a few areas where they couldn't because there's actually skin missing, you could do skin grafts from the right side to the left side, or you just let it heal by what they call second intention, meaning it eventually closes over with prod slash. And then the skin closes over top of it. And the trunk and the neck are good areas for prod slash to fill in pretty nicely without having to use Wonder Dust and without it getting what we call exuberant or overproduced.
Now, was it how many stitches did that one take?
Oh, I started in the field and I looked at him and I said, you know, I think you'd be better suited if you went to it, because we were going through so much anesthesia, basically. You'd be better suited going to a referral hospital if you're up for it. And he said, sure. I can't even remember the count that they had. There was two surgeons doing it all at the same time, but it had to be over 100 sutures.
Wow.
So, I mean, I put in at least 25 to 35 on just some small areas, but the big main portion of it, they had put in over, I would say, over 100.
You know, if the horse husband finds that, that's grounds for divorce right there. You just filed that
today.
It was
the horse husband that found it.
Poor guy.
How did he
handle well.
Did he go running for his wife?
No, he was home alone. She was already gone, so he had to make a phone call. But he had to sit on a bucket when I was there, and he goes, Dr. Jones, I'm getting really woozy and really sick. And that was another reason I suggested maybe going to a referral hospital, because he was my only holder. It was a weekend deal. He was holding the horse. He wasn't much of an assistant, you know, and really, too, getting the job done faster was a better idea. So I was really happy in the long run that he chose to go.
I'm saying it right here I'm representing all horse husbands here today, because I'm known as America's Horse Husband. That goes beyond our contract. That's way, blade from the neck to the butt is way beyond what we signed up for.
Well, it was just the most interesting case, because the right side was completely untouched and the left side was filleted. It was amazing, because when I arrived, too, I approached this horse from the right side. So
you said, why am
very,
I out
very,
here?
Very
what's wrong with you? Get
and
your butt in here and eat.
I walked around to the other side, and my jaw must have hit the ground, because I was just amazed by that.
You know, I posted a picture here on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning of the most amazing wound recovery story ever. We've had him on this show, and, of course, that is the story of Amigo. And you guys probably both know it, the horse that had that 3-foot, 3-inch stick sticking through his chest. It was the Arab horse that was an endurance horse, and that horse recovered from that after 6 months in the hospital. But it came right through his chest. They're not sure how it happened, this huge stick, and I posted the picture of it on our Facebook page. And that is one of the most amazing recovery stories of any horse ever. After you see the picture, you go, this horse didn't live, and it did. So.
Did you see that I added a link down there for our coverage of that story?
Oh, did you? Good, good.
I did.
Terrific.
Yeah, because we covered him a while back. Yeah, that's an oh my god
picture. Yeah, and he was great. I mean, he was a good guest on the show, and we had him on several times as the horse was healing, and he raised a lot of money to pay the vet bills and stuff because people see the picture and they want to give him money.
that was horrible. It was great. He recovered really well, so it was turned out to be a good story, at least by the end.
I'd love to recap what you've got, Chrissy. It's basically, you know, be careful when you approach the horse. Be careful when you're addressing the wound, what's wrong, assessing the wound, depending on what's wrong with it. Keep calm so that when you call the veterinarian, you can actually speak on the phone. If you can't, get your friend to come over and talk because it could be traumatizing, like that little pony I found in the field. And please don't use anything that might cauterize the wound area if you're planning on having the vet come out and suture it. We'll need you to, you know, use betadine solution to kind of keep it clean or bandage it if it's bleeding and just keep adding bandages on top.
Right. And thank you for bringing up staying calm, because I think whenever we see one of our horses hurt, especially if it's something as awful as some of the cases that you've mentioned today, it's really easy to hyperventilate and call up the vet, but yet be unable to speak. But stay calm. You can do this, I think is the point.
All right, you guys, this has been awesome. That picture, Glenn, grossed me out, the wound recovery. So,
woohoo, I win this week.
Yay, Dan.
Dr. Jones and Chrissy, thank you for being on and going over all of this. I just want to let you know that I've posted a video on top of your picture and your grossness. So at least when people come to the Horses in the Morning Facebook page, they're going to see something awesome and not something disgusting. So the awesome video is of a horse that is jumping in Normandy Bank. So enjoy, everybody, enjoy that, because it's better than that nasty photo Glenn posted. Gross! Dr. Jones and Chrissy, we're out of time. We'll talk to y'all again next week. Chrissy, just get in touch with me. I'll come see you. You can come to the farm, too, you know. I mean, come on. We're going
to
be here in Phoenix. Come on.
I will bring it on.
Okay.
Thanks.
We'd love Bye-bye. To see you. You guys, thank you very much. Talk to you next week.
Take care.
All right. Bye. See, Glenn, our show is over, and I just had to end the show with a happy video as opposed to your nastiness.
You guys always try and gross me out. I succeeded this week. I win this week.
You can have that victory, okay? Wait.
Hey.
Let's see.
There's one thing, though, I wanted to say was this relates back to the very beginning of the show. You posted your co-pilot picture of Boomer with your dog with his feet up on the dashboard looking out the front window. And I said, wow, that's such intensity. And Julie Malik commented that he was maybe looking for state troopers and perhaps he was your radar detector.
He keeps his eyes peeled for anything that moves. And God forbid there be somebody who's riding a bicycle down the road. I mean, that is cause for alarm. I mean, dear God, that person's going to kill us. We got to bark at him right now. Oh, and really, seriously, if anybody's walking their dog down the street, God forbid that happens, because he just about goes through the window.
There are a couple other things, too, before we wrap up here real quick. Other comments, favorite songs. We had White Horses by Jackie.
I
don't
know that one.
All right,
no.
How about Susan Boyle's rendition of Wild Horses? I didn't know she did one.
She did do one. Play it.
Yeah, was it good?
I haven't heard it, but she's amazing, so it's got to be good.
Yeah. We had a couple people that said Wildfire was the best. Also, another vote for Run for the Roses. And then Girls and Horses. And in case you didn't hear the beginning.
The battle.
Oh, no, that wasn't the right one.
I was going to say. There you go.
Nope, not that one. Hold on.
You know I can't live.
Which number was the Garth one, Glenn?
Oh, number 5 was the Garth one, Jamie. Number
okay.
5.
Okay, carry on. What were you saying? Girls and Horses?
Well, there was lots of votes for Girls and Horses. But, I think by now, if you didn't listen to the beginning of the show, you're not going to have this in your brain. And Jennifer's probably successfully tried to get it out of her brain. So just in case you did.
Here I'm calling.
Jennifer, did, now does that help get it back in your brain again?
Ah!
Jamie, this is what you're looking for. Let's end the show. Bye, everybody.